This is Dean Gocher. If you've been on my website, authorityresearch.com, and listening to radio, sort of, this is a continuation of how it works. Important that you listen to that one before we go into this one here, because I want to talk about the contemporary translations. I happen to study Greek in seminary, and several of the professors were really troubled by the Greek source that we were using in class. It was the Metzger Greek. I found that there was a grading system in regards to this source of Greek, and the Metzger's Greek is not the Strong's Concordance Greek. It's a different Greek. And I found that the King James that was translated from the Textus Receptus, that Greek, which you find in Strong's Concordance, was diminished, was actually, they had a grading system of A, B, C, D, and often words you would find in King James were listed as D, as far as translation and meaning. And so the professors were concerned about this. I left seminary. I didn't finish. There was just, I tell people I went to seminary to study the Word of God, and all we did was study men's opinion of the Word of God. Well, years later, I had a chance to sit in a university doing research. They had the works of Luther. Now, it's not Luther's book, you know, Table Talks, that's out there in the public. After reading it, it was literally an encyclopedia. There were several volumes of his sermons and his notes. And as I was doing research on this dialectic process, I would find escape by going over to that part of the reference library and reading through his works. And I found that, and I wish I had taken notes of it, but, you know, as you're reading through, you're gathering different things. He talked about dialectical fantasies and very interesting words, or Gnostic, you know. He referenced these terms. But as he was trying to be a good Catholic, and this ties to how it works in the last presentation, he found that what the Catholic Church was doing, and he wanted to be a good Catholic, but as he was going through the libraries, he found what the procedure was for dealing with the scriptures. And it was to take the scriptures apart, the words, reinterpret them to contemporize them, and put the words back in again. And the meaning was changed. It became subjective. It became, I feel and I think. It was that dialogue that took place. And therefore, to understand the scriptures, you had to go to somebody's interpretation of the scriptures. And this is why Luther wanted the scriptures printed, because he said they're not to be from some other source. You should have the source itself. The Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. And if you don't have it and somebody else has it, then you're getting their opinion, unless they're literally reading it. And so he makes this statement. He states, this is Luther's Works, Volume 32, page 217. Quote, "Miserable Christians whose words and faith still depend upon the interpretations of men and who expect clarification from them. This is frivolous and ungodly. The scriptures are common to all and are clear enough in respect to what is necessary for salvation and are also obscure enough for inquiring minds. Let us reject the word of man." And so he didn't set up a institution work like Calvin did. He simply said, present the word of God, let the Holy Spirit work in the life of the person. And so his focus was on the word itself, just preaching and teaching, and if there's anything, you discuss it, but everything was focused on the word itself. Because he was countering Aristotelian logic that the Catholic Church had built itself upon. And that goes like this. You create a healthy environment, you can create a healthy person. Well, that stimulus response, that's the how it works issue that I just covered in the last presentation. We're wicked. There is nothing that man can do to make himself good in the eyes of God. It is simply the work of God. It's by faith we're saved through grace. And so it is God's work in us. We cannot boast. So no man can boast. And so his focus was on getting the word of God out. It was in German, and he had some problems doing it because the word church, now the Greek word is ekklesia, called out. It's the assembly. It's a congregation. Israel was called out of Egypt, and it was congregation. It was always referred to as congregation or assembly. Church is a pagan word. Church is tied to the state. And so that's why King James wanted church. That's why the king under Luther wanted Kerk. Because they did not, they were intimidated by a mob. They would see it as a mob who are independent thinking and would not make themselves subject to him as a ruler. Or would be judgmental of him as a ruler. And so this verbiage, this the source of the translation was the key. And years later then, as I was studying the philosophy that I explained, I wanted to understand Gnosticism. You know, as above, so below. You know, we're all divine sparks. And so the objective is to deliver us from Demiurge, the god of restraint. And it's through reasoning, dialectic reasoning, we find ourselves common with one another. And so the divine sparks come together. And in this whole process, God discovers himself. You know, you can have every kind of variation on that story, but that's the agenda. God becoming, see, society becoming, man becoming. We become through societies, through the social, through the group, not on an individual basis. See, the word of God is you individually. When you die, it nobody else's opinion is going to count. It's just you and God, just you and God. Period. In fact, the Marxist, Max Horkheimer, he makes this statement in his book, Vernunft und Selbsthaltung. I hope I pronounced that right. I probably didn't. But it's reasoning and self-preservation. He was a Marxist, and he goes this Protestantism. What was that? Doing your best unto the Lord, putting no man between you and God. Priesthood of all believers. See, a priest is before God. And so you're to be a priest before God. The Holy Spirit indwells within you. You are sacred. You are special before God. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so you think and act accordingly. And so you think and act as an individual. You're not controlled by community. You're not controlled by your family. Jesus said, I'll divide the Father from the Son. You are thinking and acting according to what the Word of God says. And so Horkheimer, a Marxist, says this. Protestantism was the strongest force in the extension of cold, rational individualism. See, Marx made this statement. It is not individualism that fulfills the individual. On the contrary, it destroys him. Society is a necessary framework through which freedom and individualities are made realities. When you use the word discussion, there's always an external authority, objective truth. God has the final say. Your father had the final say. Whoever is in authority, they author commands and they enforce them. And so whatever authority you're under, they author commands and they enforce them. That's in a discussion. So God says, come let us reason together, but he has the final say. But Marx and Aristotle, all these, it is not individualism that fulfills the individual. In other words, it's not you worshiping and serving God. It's not you being a priest before God. It's not you as an individual humbling and denying and dying to yourself to do the Father's will that fulfills you according to this ideology. On the contrary, it destroys you. See, it's society, it's the group. See, anytime you as a parent have relations with your relatives, now you teach your children right from wrong, and you visit with the relatives and they do things wrong, and you don't reprove them. Now you reprove your children, but you don't reprove them. And so you compromise, and silence is consent. See, and so you compromise, and so the kids are going, well, Dad doesn't compromise with us. He tells us not to compromise. He doesn't tell us do this and don't do that, and if it gets in your way, just do whatever you feel like doing. But it's that compromise, society, the group, the collective, is all built upon compromise. That's relationship. Now, fellowship, where two or three are gathered in my name, and the true assembly, the true congregation, is around one, an external, within you, but external to you. You're ultimately accountable. It doesn't matter how you feel, what you think. You do what you're told. When God created Adam, first thing he did, he didn't do with anything else in creation. Nothing else. Not the stars, not the animals, not the rocks. Nothing else. He told him what he was to do and what he was not to do. See, only man can read or write a book. And that's the result of God breathing the breath of life into the nostrils of man. He became a living soul. And, Paul addresses this. He says, not knowing the righteousness of God, but setting around to establish their own righteousness, they do not fulfill the righteousness of God. And so man's effort to figure out what is the right behavior, what is wrong behavior, has only the world to work with. And so God's word is revealed. And so we have scripture, and this is where the battle is. That's the contemporary translations, is what happened was the early copiers of Paul's letters and Matthew's and all these letters that were compiled, not only the old, the Masoret, which the Hebrews kept track of, there was a method, there were two methods, and the one was, it was impeccable. I mean, it was a very intense process to make sure that a copy was exactly what the original was. And so that method was carried over into the copying of the New Testament because these manuscripts are falling apart. Now, if you have a manuscript you're using over and over and over again, it falls apart. Now, if it's not used, it just sits on the shelf and 100, 200, 300 years later, it's still good because it's never used. And so the ones you use every Sunday or whenever you're reading and studying, you have to make another copy because it's getting wore out. And so between 900 and 1400, there were almost 5,000 of these fragments and almost complete books. And they were compiled. But backing up a little bit, there was the Waldensians, and I cover this in my Textus Receptus. The issue was the original manuscripts and copying them and making sure that 2,000 years later, you had the exact copy of what the original was. Now, you didn't have that copy, but it was copied meticulously so that when it came up to your time, your generation, you had fragments, see, and there might be some discrepancy, but not doctrinally, not earth-shaking, not major, because sometimes, you'd have a misprint, and there were procedures that if you had enough misprints on the copy, it was destroyed, it was burnt. Wow. You went to a lot of work. Back then when you had to kill Betsy, and then if you make a mistake, sorry, Betsy, the hide I just took from you, I'm burning it. And so it was serious work to make sure these copies were reflected the exact word verbiage or the words and the syllables of the originals. And the original Greek, by the way, was just letter after letter. I love Greek because you could take a sentence apart, throw it in a box, all the separate words, and the prefix suffixes would tell you exactly where that word fit. It is a language of science. The Hebrew was you're sitting. See, you're in the process of sitting. But the Greek is, you're sitting. You've arrived. It's a language of finished. See, before in the Hebrew is we're coming to that point, and when we reach that point in Christ, it's fulfilled. And so the Greek carries that, finished science language. So we had, what happened was the early copies were going one direction, but there were those who were Gnostic, and that's the dialogue. And they would take the Alexandrian text, the Gnostic text, and they would interpret because the word of God was sharper than a two-edged sword, and it didn't fit with the compromise of humanity. And so it was just a little tweak here, a little tweak there, just change a word here, a change a word there. And so men like Origen, they made these heretical. Somebody gets your will and change a few words. It's heresy. So these were heretical manuscripts, and they were selling them. And they were making a fortune because, oh, we got a new copy right here for you, you know, half price. And so you end up with these false ones. And the Catholic Church is translated Latin, and Jerome, and the Catholic Church used these heretical manuscripts. They require dialogue. How do you feel? What do you think? But the original ones, it was discussion. The Word of God says, the Word of God says, the Word of God says. How do you know? There it is. It's the exact copy that Paul wrote in his letter, that Matthew, Mark, Luke, all these authors, the copies guaranteed that we have today those same words that they wrote on those manuscripts. Some discrepancy, yeah, in characters, but no major doctrinal errors. Now, what happened was the Waldensians had translated from the original manuscripts to Latin. Well, the Catholic Church, and that was around 170 in that period, 170 AD, early. Well, the Catholic Church tried to get rid of them, so they went up to the Piedmonts. And their work then influenced Luther, King James, Geneva. There was a problem with coming out and saying it because they had been so hated by the Catholic Church. The whole culture had become hostile toward it, and so you had to be careful. You couldn't really say, well, we're using the Waldensian Bible here to help us in our translation. But it was there. Now, Wycliffe translated from the heresy document of the Catholic Church, and therefore, but his problem was he printed it. You could read it. You didn't have to depend upon someone out there to interpret it for you from the pulpit. You could read it for yourself, even though it was from the heresy source. And so Huss, you know, he was burnt at the stake. Well, Luther was supposed to be, you know, executed too. In fact, after the Diet of Worms, if he was, anybody could have killed him. It'd been like shooting a rabbit. And so that's why the prince or the king had him put in a castle. He said, don't tell me where you put him because I don't want to know, because I don't have to say. And so he was put in a castle for a year. Well, in that year, he translated from the Greek and Hebrew to the German language. Now, German used to have 300 or 400 different dialects, and you couldn't understand the German across the street. They weren't like here in America. They were so different. Well, because everybody used the Luther's Bible, his translation, that's where the Hochdeutsch, the language, unified Germany, because everybody used it in the same source. And so it had a major effect on the culture. Well, what happened was these manuscripts that were in the Eastern Church, the Catholic Church tried to get rid of them because they were a thorn in the flesh, because the Catholic Church had to have the opinion, the dialogue, the high feeling, I think. And these other manuscripts, they're it doesn't matter how you feel or what you think, it's written. You have them. You have a copy of the original. And so when Constantinople was overtaken by the Moors or the Muslims, these manuscripts were smuggled up into Europe. Erasmus gets a hold of them. He compiles them. He says, even though he's a Catholic, he says, this is good stuff. This is pure. This is right. And so it's that source that called the Textus Receptus, the received text, that Luther works off of, that Tyndale works off of, King James worked off. And 80% of King James is Tyndale's work, even though King James wanted Tyndale killed, and he was killed. And 90% of Geneva Bible was Tyndale's work. Now, Tyndale was killed simply because he translated Shepherd, Shepherd. It wasn't priest, see, Shepherd, Shepherd. Because priest is, you know, this top-down hierarchy, or bishop, see. And so the King James says, well, no bishop, no king, see. And so you can't use the word shepherd. Or you had to use church instead of congregation or assembly because it was political. And so actually there's history of these certain words that had to be used according to King James for this manuscript to be published for the public, for the Word of God to be published. And so, but the doctrine itself was a translation from, the manuscript itself was a translation from the Textus Receptus. And that's what you find in Strong's. Well, in 1880s, two Catholics came into a committee that was, they'd received a couple more manuscripts. They were figuring how, you know, how to adjust these or fit these in with the Greek that the Textus Receptus had, because that's what they had as foundation in their research. These two Catholics come in and they say, oh, we got a couple new, three new sources. They're awesome. And they were 300 AD. Wow, so they're early, huh? Well, what condition? They're mint condition. Mint condition? Suspect. And then they introduced Sinaiticus Alph, Codex X, and let me see if I can find them here. You can read this in my Textus Receptus on my website. Yeah, Vaticanus Bay, Sinaiticus Alph, and Codex X. Well, these are Gnostic. These are Alexandrian. These are the result of dialogue. How do you feel? What do you think? And so they were able to then corrupt the Textus Receptus. Of course, they weren't corrupted because those who just kept the Textus Receptus were pure. Sinaiticus Alph and Codex X and Vaticanus Bay, they're in conflict with one another. They don't agree. And yet you go and study Metzger. They're the foundation of contemporary all the new Bibles come from these heresy sources. Now what what made me aware of this was that I knew there was wrong. You know, sometimes you haven't figured it out. Well, I studied Gnosticism. Alexandrian, all this heresy that Luther was exposing and trying to deliver the people from the control of man over them and letting the Word of God itself direct their steps. And the Gnostic is, we're God. We're becoming God. We're discovering ourselves as God, as a collective. Socialism, all this stuff comes from this one is all, and all are one. As above, so below. It's all built on our carnal human nature and our reasoning. And it has a good intent that we all get along with one another, but it's not subject to God's word itself. And so as I was studying Gnosticism, I went back and read the history. It's in the Metzger. You read the history. And guess what's missing? You know, when you study history, it's not always what someone says. It's what they leave out. These are Gnostic manuscripts, and what's left out of the history is Gnosticism. I'm going, this was major. John, 1 John and 2 John were in response to Gnosticism. So how can you leave it out? Well, you're doing it. And so what's happened? We have all these copies in the Bible, you know, all these different Bibles in the church today, quote-unquote Bibles. Well, mine's a little different than yours. Well, how do you feel? What do you think? What do you feel? The whole agenda was to bring the dialogue in. The dialogue is the heresy. The I feel and I think in regards to God's word is heresy. Because the moment you go, I feel and I think to the word of God, you're God. And you're breaking the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Your opinion doesn't count. Nobody's opinion on the face of the earth counts. It's God's word and God's word alone, period. And that was the Textus Receptus. What I've just shared with you, I would be, in fact, I was in a major church up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I shared this Sunday morning, 100 people there in the adult Sunday school class. They were going to have me speak that night. They were planning for 600 people to be there. I'd been there before. And I shared this, and a guy comes up after, "We got a problem here." I said, "Well, what's that?" "Well, we don't accept the Texas Receptus anymore. We have embraced the Alexandrian heresy documents." They didn't say it that way. And so after the service, they announced it because the minister didn't know this was going on. And they announced the meeting at night. And then my wife and I were sitting out in the middle of the sanctuary, huge, huge building, pretty good size. And all the board got around me. They got in a circle all the way around me and they attacked me. "Oh, you know, we get," and they all went, "I feel, I think, we believe, we," not once did they say, "We know." See, with the Textus Receptus, you know. Not one word of knowing came out of their mouths. And they canceled the meeting because they sold their soul to the dialectic process of heresy. Now, I'm not King James only. I'm not Geneva Bible only. I do like Tyndale's. I do like Tyndale's because he was straightforward. So I encourage you to read Textus Receptus on my website and go through it. There's plenty of research out there, and you have to be careful because some people will start out promoting Textus Receptus and they'll get you hooked on what their reasoning is, and then they'll do a circle around and take you back. This is really wicked. The devil wants to destroy the Word of God. When you got King James, you got Geneva, those are translations. But it's that source. It's that source that's the key. Because the Textus Receptus, it is a copy of the originals. I mean, copy, over the years, from 980 to 1400. And they're essential to the whole Protestant Reformation. It was, "Thus saith the Lord, it is written." There's no confusion. We would never have had the Protestant Reformation with all these other translations, because there had been doubt. "Well, mine says this, mine says that." No, there was one source, one foundation. Now, you might disagree on the translation, but the source was all the same. So that's where we are today. That's where the church has gone to. It's rejected the authority of God's word, and it's gone to the opinion of men. I actually heard a minister the other day, Bible church, okay? And the minister gets up, "It's my duty to preach my opinion of the word of God." Yeah? Wow. Well, that's where we are today. Everybody's got their opinion. No fear of God. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart and read the Word. Read the Word. Open up the Scriptures. Holy Spirit works through the Word of God, not your opinion, not the preacher, not the teacher, but through the Word of God itself. Read the Word of God. Read it to your children. You don't have to sit there and do expository on it. If they ask a question, you know, share what you can in a way that they will understand. But read it. Read it to yourself. Read it to others. And allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And I might say, you can come to the Lord and you can serve the Lord with these other translations, but they produce confusion. They produce doubt. And you don't have the impeccability of the originals. There are certain words like "yield to the higher power," King James. Well, the word is authority, because power is just part of authority. Authority is you author and you enforce. Power is you just enforce. And so that's why King James wanted power, because he's the king and he's, you know, the author is subjective. But you yield to the higher authority, and that's God. He's the one who authors above the king. And he's the one who enforces above the king, above the parent, above everyone on the face of the earth.